Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. We begin today's Shiur at the Mishnah that you will find 6 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. Before we begin the Mishnah, let us glance at the side where we have a topic heading, a nosei, under which we've written the following: Tov Bidvar Mitzvah, person who erred in the realm of a mitzvah. Possibility Aleph, the Osa Mitzvah. He erred, there was a mistake that took place, and of course we'll be focusing on a Shabbos-related matter, but in the course of the mistake he also performed a mitzvah. A second situation is, he was Tov Bidvar Mitzvah, Veloy Osa Mitzvah. His action, which was done in error, but did not result in a mitzvah either. Dugma. The example will involve Hoyu Lo Shnei Tinokos Lomul. A person had 2 children to circumcise. So just imagine a father that had a twin birth, and in having the twin birth, so 2 sons were born, both needing circumcision. One was born on a Friday and the other on a Shabbos. Of course, you can have if it's a twin birth and there's a little bit of a gap in time between the two, so you can well imagine at the end of Friday and at the very beginning of Friday night, which is the beginning of Shabbos. So the dates of their respective circumcision are different. Each child will be 8 days later. And 8 days later, once again, you'll have a Friday and a Shabbos. And what would happen if you circumcised the Friday baby, not on Friday, but on Shabbos? Likewise, you can, and that's not its time. In other words, it's really its 9th day, and that's called Mila Shelo Bizmano. So you did, in fact, commit a, there was a mistake made, but you also fulfilled a mitzvah, the act of circumcision. There's another scenario where you can have a twin birth on Shabbos, toward the end of Shabbos day, and then Saturday night, which is Sunday. And a week later, on the Shabbos, and by mistake, you circumcised the Sunday birth on Shabbos, which is only its 7th day of life. So that's a mistake, and it's also no mitzvah because you did a premature act of circumcision. So we're illustrating the cases that we will see in the Mishnah, and without any further ado, let's take a look at the Mishnah. Misha hoyu lo shnei tinokos. Person has 2 babies. Echod lomul achar hashabbos, ve'echod lomul b'shabbos. One needs its circumcision on, let's say, achar Shabbos literally means after Shabbos, we'll say Sunday, and the other one on Shabbos itself. V'shochach umol es shel achar hashabbos b'shabbos. And the circumcision was done on the Sunday baby a day early on Shabbos. Chayov, he's guilty of a Shabbos violation. Another case, echad lo muber of Shabbos ve'echad lo mul b'Shabbos. 2 babies, one needing circumcision on Friday and the other needing it on Shabbos. V'shochach umol es shel erev Shabbos b'Shabbos. Here, instead of circumcising the Friday baby on Friday, he circumcised it on Shabbos, a day later than it should have been. Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev Chatos, Rabbi Yeshua Poter. You have the Machlokes Tanoim, in this case where Rabbi Eliezer says there's a Shabbos violation because a baby that should be circumcised on Friday that's done a day later, and you did it on Shabbos, that's Mila Shelo Bizmano, which is Shabbos is given to be overruled, superseded only with Mila on the 8th day, not if it's its 9th day. Rabbi Yeshua says one is exempt, and we'll have to see later in the Gemara why that is. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, because this is trying to draw your attention to the arrow just a couple lines above. As we go on in the Gemara, Rav Huna Masni Chayav, Rav Huna has as his version of the Mishnah, just like we have it. That's why we have an arrow here, so that you can see that what Rav Huna is doing here in the Reisha is his version of the beginning of the Mishnah, is just like we have it. Rav Yehuda Masni Potter. Rav Yehuda has a different version, and he sets up the Reisha in a different fashion than what we have. And this will all be explained as we go on in the Gemara. You'll notice that we have a number 1 here in a triangle to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and we dashed underline Huna Masni Chayav. When you skim down to the into the wide lines of the Gemara, at the end of the second wide line, Rav Yehuda is dashed underlined, Rav Yehuda Masni Potter, and then we'll see his version of things, and we label that as 2 Aleph. It's the first version of, we'll say, Rav Yehuda's approach, and then we'll see a second approach, a variation on that, and we call that later 2 Bays. On the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, you will notice that we have a bow tie shape. These bow ties appear in the Gemara, and they represent Gimel Deos, 3 approaches, Bebrisos, featured in Tanaic sources and Brisos. Bema Nechleku, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua. The names Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua we've already seen in diamonds, and they will continue to appear in diamonds. So basically, we'll have 3 additional Tanaic sources in the Gemara featuring the scenarios mentioned in the Mishnah, and there will be variations. And the double underline that you see will be used to highlight the expressions loy nechliku, meaning there is agreement about a particular case, and alma nechliku, on what is there disagreement. Hopefully, even though you notice there are lots and lots of markings on this daf, the hope is that we'll be able to keep things in a very clear, orderly fashion as we proceed. So, you notice there are many variables here. We have, first, we start off already with 2 babies, and within the case of the 2 babies, we've got 2 different cases of when they were born, and then in addition to that, we've got 2 major shitas of Tanoim. They appear, Reb Elazar and Rishu, and diamonds. And then we go on with different presentations of the machloikasim and cases where there is agreement. So there are lots of variables to keep in mind. So let us, without any further ado, continue in the Gemara. We mentioned Rav Huna Masni Chayav Desanya. Rav Huna's version is like we saw in the Mishnah, where the person will be chayev in the case that you had a 2 babies, and one of them was born on Sunday, and you did the circumcision of that baby on Shabbos a day early. Let us see the brisa. Omar Reb Shimon ben Elazar, loy nechleku Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yeshua, ami shoyu lo shtei tinokos. There is no disagreement between the Tanoim, Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua, and someone who had 2 babies, Echad lo mul b'Shabbos, Echad lo mul acharas Shabbos, regarding that case. And that was the first case in the Mishnah. V'shochachu mol es shel acharas Shabbos v'Shabbos, and you did the Sunday baby on Shabbos, shuhu chayav. There's agreement about that, that the one who circumcises, who cuts on that Shabbos, cutting the child's, doing the circumcision a day early, is in violation of Shabbos. He's chayav, therefore. And this is what we saw in the Mishnah, because at that point in the Mishnah, where it said chayav, where our first arrow appeared, there was no machlokas. We didn't see Tanoim arguing about that case. So that's what Rabbi Shimon Elazar's point is that regarding that case, lo nechleku, as we highlighted with our double underline before. Al ma nechleku here, now again the double underline emphasizing, what do they argue about? Al mi shoyu lo shtei tinokos. A person had 2 children, echod lo mul b'erev Shabbos, echod lo mul b'Shabbos. One's circumcision needs to be done on a Friday, and the other one on a Shabbos. V'shochach mol es shel erev Shabbos v'Shabbos. And mistakenly he circumcise the Friday baby on Shabbos. In other words, instead of Friday, which would have been the right time, it's eighth day, he circumcised it on Shabbos, its ninth day. Rabbi Eliezer mechayavatos. Rabbi Eliezer views that as a simple Shabbos violation, and if done as we saw by mistake, he brings a sin offering, a chatos offering. But Rabbi Yoshua poter, and Rabbi Yoshua says there is exemption. Now, regarding this case, which by the way was just like we saw in the Mishnah, ushneim lo lomdua elo meavodis kechavim. Both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua learn their legal conclusions from the case of idolatry. The Torah compares all cases where one brings a sin offering to the case of the sin offering brought in a violation of idolatry. And the reason for that is that the Pasuk says, Torah achas yelochem, in Sefer Bamidbar and Parshas Shlach. And that Pasuk is by idolatry, and it says, Torah achas yelochem, that Torah means one law applies to all of the chatos cases, like the case of idolatry. So now, what about the case of idolatry serves as our basis? Rebbe Eliezer Sovar Ke'avodes Kechovim, that the Shabbos violation is like the case of idolatry. Ma'avodes Kechovim Omer Rachmanu Lo Savid, just like by idolatry, the Torah says don't do it, don't serve idols. V'chi Ovid Mechayev, and when one does serve idols, he brings a sin offering, of course, if he did so mistakenly. Hachinami, so too in the case of Milo Betois, a mistaken circumcision. Lo Yishno, no difference, and he therefore brings a sin offering. He did a circumcision when he should not have done it. Rabbi Yeshua, though, sees a difference. He says, Hosam Dalav Mitzvah, in the case of someone who mistakenly served an idol, he didn't perform any mitzvah. It's a pure sinful act. Hacha, in the case of circumcising a Friday baby on Shabbos, meaning on its ninth day, mitzvah. He did a mitzvah. It's bad timing, we'll say, but a mitzvah is performed. As we all know, that in the case of a standard bris milah, it's supposed to be done on its eighth day, but if one didn't circumcise it on the eighth day, so do it the next possible time. In this case, it wasn't done on the eighth day on Friday, so he did it on Shabbos. Of course, you're not allowed as a first choice to do Milo Shelo Bizmana on Shabbos, but if it was done, a mitzvah was performed. So therefore, it's not like the case of a violator of idolatry. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua says, since we learn the rules of chatos bringing from idolatry, this doesn't parallel the example of the mistaken idolatrous act. Therefore, here he will be exempt. Rabbi Yehuda Masni Potter. Rabbi Yehuda's version of the matter, of the cases involving the babies, he has Potter as his version. What does he mean by that? So let's see as we go on in this source. Desanyo. We have the Tanaic source. Omar Rabbi Meir, Loi Nechleku, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Almi Shehoyu Lo, Shtei Tinokos, Echad Lo Mul Be'erev Shabbos, Ve'echad Lo Mul B'Shabbos. Now, we have to note that this is not like the opening of our Mishnah, and that's what we mentioned earlier, that when we saw at the opening of the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Masni Potter, he had a different version of the Reisha of the Mishnah. In other words, his version of the ratio where there was no machlokas is the case of two babies, one born on Friday, one born on Shabbos. V'shochach, we continue in the Gemara, v'shochachu mol es shel erev Shabbos b'Shabbos. And the mistake that was done was he did the Friday baby on Shabbos, shu potter. And we've not underlined potter because we want to emphasize this is his Rabbi. This was Rav Yehuda's version of the Mishnah, that in this case everyone agrees there is exemption. Al ma nechleku, when is there a machlokas? Al misho yilo shtei tinokas, echolomu be'echol achar haShabbos ve'echolomu b'Shabbos. This is the Sunday, the Friday, or the Shabbos Sunday scenario. V'shochachu mol es shel achar Shabbos b'Shabbos, and the mistake that was done was he did the Sunday baby on Shabbos. He did it a day early. Shrebelozer mechayev chatos, Rabbi Yeshua poter. Ushnehem lo lomdua ela mavidischam. Similar structures we had before. Both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua learn the rules of chatos bringing from idolatry. Rabbi Elazar Sovar, and this will be the same as we saw before. Rabbi Elazar Sovar kavidischam mavidischam ma barachman lo savich yovin machayev. Rabbi Elazar holds that chatos bringing is based on idolatry, just like in the case of idolatry, the Torah says don't do it, and if one does violate it, unwittingly, he brings a chatos. He's mechayev means he's obligated to bring the chatos. Hochinam ilo shna, so too here in the case of the mila, the circumcision of the Sunday baby a day early on Shabbos, a sin was done. He brings a chatos. Rabbi Yeshua says no. There is a difference. Hosam in the case of idolatry lo torid mitzvah. There's no mitzvah that is on his mind that over which he is preoccupied and hence leading him to make a mistake. So therefore, in the case of idolatry, he has no excuse, so to speak, to have made the mistake. Aha, here we're dealing with a person, we'll say a father. He's got two boys to circumcise, and he's preoccupied with when to do which one. And here, therefore, he's Torah mitzvah. He's preoccupied with performing a mitzvah. And therefore, this causes him, the mitzvah is causing him to be confused. And because of this mitzvah-based confusion, he made his mistake. And therefore, it's not like the case of idolatry, and therefore he will be exempt. Tani Rebbe Chiya Omer. Now we have a third version, and this is in effect we call this two bays because it's a second version of Rebbe Meir. So Rebbe Chiya says, Omer, Tani Rebbe Chiya, Rebbe Chiya teaches, Omer Hoya Rebbe Meir. Rabbi Meir used to say, "Lo nechleku Rabbi Lozer of Rabbi Yeshua, al mi shehoyu lo shtei tinokos, echad lomu be'erev Shabbos ve'echad lomu b'Shabbos, v'shochachu mol es shel erev Shabbos b'Shabbos." The case of two babies, one needs a Friday circumcision and the other a Shabbos one, and he made a mistake. Umol es shel erev Shabbos b'Shabbos. And he did the Friday baby on Shabbos. He did it a day late. And now here's the surprise. Shehu chayov. Everyone will agree that the circumciser is in violation, is chayov. With the markings, it's easy to contrast each Taneig source with the previous one or whatever was before. In this case, just compare this version of Remeir to the one just before this. If you follow where we dashed underline, Umol es shel Erev Shabbos, Bishabbos, in the source before, everyone agreed, Potter. In this case, everyone agrees, even Rabbi Yeshua, who is the lenient opinion, even he says here, it will be Chayev. That will have to be explained, though, later in the Gemara. Al ma nechliku, al mi shoyu lo shtei tinokos, over which case is there a machlokas? Two babies, one needing a Shabbos circumcision and the other a Sunday circumcision. And the mistake that was made here is he circumcised the Sunday baby on Shabbos, a day early. That's Rabbi Chiya's version of Rabbi Meir. The Gemara, though, asks something is very difficult about this approach. Hashto Rabbi Yeshua, Seifa de lo ka'ovid mitzvah poter. In the Seifa case, the Sunday baby circumcised a day early, which is wrong. It's not even considered a bris milah. It's considered a non-mitzvah. And yet, Rabbi Yeshua says he is exempt. In other words, a non-fulfillment mitzvah was done on Shabbos, and Rabbi Yeshua is willing to exempt. Reisha deka'ovid mitzvah mechayev. In the Reisha case, in the first case of this source, where the Friday baby was circumcised on Shabbos, a day late, on its ninth day, why there does Rabbi Yeshua say he is guilty of a Shabbos violation? In this case, in the Seifel case where no mitzvah was performed, he exempts. In the Reisha case where a mitzvah is performed, why does he say guilty of Shabbos violation? Amri Debei Rav Yanai. So the Debei Rav Yanai, in the Yeshiva Rav Yanai, the following is offered as an explanation. The Reisha Kagon Shekidam Umol Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. In the Reisha case, the reason that Rabbi Yeshua is Mechayev is because he circumcised the baby that should have been done on Shabbos. He did it a day early. He did it on Friday. What results? Only one baby is left. And, namely, the Friday baby is left, which he doesn't do on Friday. But as a result of only the Friday baby left, the lo nitno Shabbos litchos, as far as this father is concerned, he doesn't have a Shabbos option. Shabbos is not given to being superseded anymore. Why? Because the baby that could have superseded Shabbos, he already circumcised. He did the Shabbos one on Friday. So as Shabbos enters, he is a person that has no, he doesn't have an option or he doesn't have eligibility for superseding Shabbos. Therefore, even Rabbi Yeshua sees him as chayav when he circumcises the Friday baby on Shabbos. Seifa, in the case where there were two babies in front of him, and one of them was supposed to be done on Shabbos to begin with. As we said, there were two babies. In the Seifa, there was a Shabbos circumcision and a Sunday circumcision, but one of them was, in fact, a Shabbos circumcision. So Seifa nitna Shabbos litchos. Shabbos was given to be overruled. And therefore, the Shabbos status was weaker in the Seifa. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua saw grounds for exemption. We can use the Svara we saw before. Even though he did the Sunday baby on Shabbos, he was nevertheless torud b'dvar mitzvah. He was torud in doing a mitzvah because he had the Shabbos baby as well on his mind. Omale Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi raises a question. Reisha nami, in the Reisha case, as the Bei Rav Yanai just explained, that he already circumcised the Shabbos baby prematurely, nevertheless, nitno Shabbos lidchos legabi tinoikos de'alma. Shabbos day, though, is overruled by babies in general. So why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua exempt in the Reisha case based on the Svara of Nitno Shabbos Litchos? The Gemara answer is that may be true with regard to the world of babies. However, Lahai Gavra, but regarding this father, this man, Miha Loi Isyohiv, his Shabbos isn't given over to being overruled because the only baby the one baby that he had that would have overruled Shabbos, he already circumcised on Friday. The Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, we have a topic heading on the side, the Nosei. In this Mishnah, we will see Dugmois, Shoinois, different examples, Sheleidois, Bein HaShmoshos, of births taking place at the Bein HaShmoshos time of day. That's the transition between one day and the next. It's the end of the daylight of one day, the onset of the darkness of the next day, which is a period known as a Sofek. It's not clear which day it is assigned to. Ubekach hamila eino b'yoyim hashmin. As a result of a leida Bein HaShmoshos, we will discover that the milah, the bris milah, isn't going to take place on the baby's eighth day. Let's see the Mishnah. Kata nimo lishmoina, under normal circumstances, the child is circumcised on its eighth day. There are more cases, letisha. There are cases where it will be circumcised on its ninth, lasor 10th, lachadasor 11th, ula shneimosor 12th. Lo pochos velo yoser, not less, and not more, not less than 8, and not more than 12. Ha ketzad. Well, what do you mean by that? Answer, so, kedarko lishmona, under normal circumstances, a child is born on a clear time of day, so 8 days later will be at circumcision. Nolad lebeina shmoshos, nimol letisha. Let's say a baby is born at the end of, let's say, a Shabbos day. So in your mind's eye, start counting from Shabbos. However, a week later on Shabbos, you're not going to circumcise him because since it was born toward the end of Shabbos, so you don't know whether whether Shabbos was in effect its first day, whether it was actually born on Shabbos. Maybe it was born Saturday night because of that Bein HaShemoshes doubt. So if you count from Shabbos, you'll end up seeing that its circumcision will take place on the Sunday a week later, which would be its ninth day. Another case, the third case, Bein HaShemoshes shel Erev Shabbos. Let's say you have a baby that's born toward the end of Friday. So, again, Bein HaShemoshes is a suffix time. Maybe it was born on Friday, maybe on Shabbos. You're not going to circumcise it a week later on Friday because that's not its actual birthday. It may have actually been born on Shabbos, so next week Friday would only be its seventh day. On the other hand, maybe it was born on Friday, but we just ruled out next Friday, but you're not going to circumcise it on Shabbos either because it's a doubt. You don't violate Shabbos over a matter that's a doubt. So when's your first opportunity to circumcise it? It'll be Sunday. So if you count from Friday till next Sunday, inclusive on both ends, you'll find out that it's the 10th day of the child's life. Yom Tov li'achar ha-Shabbos. Let's say in that case, Saturday night ushers in a Yom Tov. Now you won't be able to circumcise it on that Sunday because that Sunday is a Yom Tov, and you can't violate Yom Tov for a circumcision unless it's the baby's eighth day. But since, as we just saw, the baby was born on the end of Friday, beginning of Shabbos, just before this. So when Yom Tov comes out a week later, you're not going to be able to circumcise it on Sunday either. The first possible time will be Monday. So if you count from Friday till Monday, L'chadasor, it comes out to 11 days. And keeping that same scenario in mind, instead of following Shabbos, you don't have Yom Tov, which is a one-day issue, but rather you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah that follow. So, and that's the case 5 here, Beis Yomim Shel Rosh Hashanah, and you count as number 1 Friday, you'll end up finding that your first chance to do the circumcision will be a Tuesday. So if you count from Friday till Tuesday inclusive, Nimo Lishnei Mosar, it'll be a 12th day circumcision. Katan Achela Eimol Enoso Achi Avriei. An infant that is ill, you don't circumcise him until he gets better. Gemara, as it opens up, introduces to us a topic, which we have on the side, a topic heading. Under the Nosei, we've written, Chotzosoi Chamo, a child that was feverish, and the Chotzosa means the fever departed. Noisin lo shivi yomim ad shemolim oso. we give him 7 days until we circumcise him. In other words, you have to keep track of things here. The when you note when the fever departed, then count 7 days. Sheila, mi bo inon me'eis le'eis. The question that the Gemara poses is when we say you count 7 days from when the fever departs, does that mean 7 days on the calendar, or is it 7 full days, 7 units of 24 hours? Meaning from the hour, you would note the hour that the fever departed, and then you count 7 days later that same hour, and before that you wouldn't be able to circumcise it. Omar Shmuel, the Gemara, Omar Shmuel, Chotzosei Chamo, Chotzosei is expression meaning slipped off or departed from it, Chamo, fever, a child who had been feverish, the fever leaves, it drops. Noisnim loy kol zayin lavroso. He is given 7 days for recuperation. Ibayalaho mi boinon meis leis. Do we require when we say 7 days for recuperation? Is recuperation? Is it 7 days to the hour? Toshma. The Tony Ludo. So the Gemara says, let's bring proof from Ludo's source. Ludo is a name. Yom Havraosoi ki Yom Hivaldo. That's the source that Ludo teaches. Literally, the day of his the day of recuperation is like the day of birth. What do we mean by that? My love, Ma Yom Hivaldo lo boino meisleis. Just like with regard to the day that he's born. You can have a child born a couple minutes before sundown. That counts as day one. So when we count 8 days, you include that first day, which might just have a couple minutes left to it. So, af yom havra'osoi, so too with regard to the day the child gets better, meaning the day the fever left. We say if you count 7 days, lo bo inon me'eis leis. We don't require counting to the hour. You count the day, even if it was toward the very end of the day that the fever dropped. The Gemara says, lo, I'm not going to conclude what we just did, but rather, odif yom havraoso miyom hivaldo. Odif literally means greater, in this case it means stronger or stricter, possibly. Stricter is the issue of the day of his recuperation than the way we look at birth. When it comes to counting 8 days in a normal situation, we don't count me'eis le'eis. We don't count from hour to hour. V'ilu yom havraoso, but when it comes to the issue of his recuperation, bo'inon me'eis le'eis. We require the counting of 7 times 24 hours, starting with the hour that the fever dropped. We continue with the new Mishnah, and this Mishnah is a throwback to information, to things we've learned earlier in the Perek. We discussed a milah that was done, and while the milah was done, some strips of skin were left on the organ, and of course we're talking about a Shabbos circumcision. There are different levels of strictness, of stringency with regard to the strips. There are strips that if left on, the child is viewed as still uncircumcised, and there are strips that are of a minor nature that if left on don't interfere with the circumcised status. In other words, the child is not an oreil anymore. The Mishnah. Eilu hein tzitzin hama'akvin es hamila. The following are categorized as tzitzin, strips of skin that prevent the fulfillment of mila. Bosor ha'choifa es roiv ha'atora. Bosorus, in this case skin, that covers the majority of the atora. The atora is literally is the crown. It's the end of the organ that needs to have the foreskin removed. So if rove of that atora is covered with skin, it is considered uncircumcised. Now, what do we mean by rove? The Gemara will qualify that, so we'll stay tuned. And as a result of this, if the child is a Kohen, Kohen is a person generally entitled to eat the truma tithe, he won't be able to. We learn that an uncircumcised Kohen is unfit for eating truma. So he's considered still uncircumcised. If the child is fat, is corpulent, is obese, and as a result of his obesity, even though he has been circumcised, when you look at that area, he looks uncircumcised. So, misakno, a repair must be done. And Rashi says, misakno mishapea biizmel meoiso ovi. There's an actual surgical procedure where more skin is removed, even though the enough skin to make him qualified as circumcised has been removed. More is removed because mipnei marasai, so that he doesn't give the incorrect impression. Marasai may be an erroneous or incorrect impression. The Mishnah continues at the top of Omid Beis, mol velo paras amila. If he cut the foreskin but didn't draw the skin back, away from the tip. If he didn't, para literally means exposed. If he doesn't expose, just by cutting the foreskin and not drawing it back to expose the membrum, so ki'ilu lo mol, it's as if mila wasn't done. The Gemara. Omar Rav Avino, Omar Rav Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, Omar Rav, Boser HaChoyfe, Es Roiv Goiva, Shel HaTorah. In explaining the rove mentioned in the Mishnah, so Rav is telling us it's a strip of skin that runs along the height of the Atara. In other words, the Atara, just in our mind's eye, is viewed as something that's, we'll say, is circular in nature. So the Bosar HaChoyfa, the flesh or the skin that's covering the majority, we are not saying that it's covering the majority of the circumference of the organ. Even if it's a thin strip of skin that runs along the majority of the height of the organ, of the tip, we will say, that also is me'akev. The circumcision is considered, would make the child, would still be considered uncircumcised. So just to review this point, when we speak about flesh covering the majority, we're not talking about covering the majority of the circumstance, of the circumference, but even a thin strip, but it's covering rove of the height of the organ, that too is ma'akev, the mila. V'imhoya ba'al boser v'chulei. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, a diamond appears, and on the side, under our mivneh, our nosei mivneh, we have a topic heading combined with the structural note. The diamond is featured on the side, Beis Lishonos, two versions, and in addition to that, and the v'hahevdeil b'neihem, the Gemara will feature a difference between these two versions, Bividikas Koton Bal Bosar, regarding the obese infant, Lodas Im Nire Mol. How do we check it out? The way we check it out to know what's done, what needs to be done, if anything. The Gemara continues. Omar Shmuel, Koton Hamasurbo Babosar. For our purposes, we'll just say he's a fat infant. The Royan Oisoi, we look at him kolzman shemiskashe, when the organ is in a state of erection. So we have this obese infant with his circumcised organ in a state of kishui erection. The nire mohol, and it appears when it's bekoishi, it appears circumcised. Einot sarach lomol, you don't have to do anything further. The state of koshi does is it since it becomes koshim, is hard, erect, so the whatever fat or whatever additional skin that might be there is pushed aside. And Shmuel is telling us, if in that state the child appears mahul, circumcised, you don't have to do anything further. V'im lav, and if not, meaning even though it's the limb, the aver, the organ is in a state of koshi, it still appears uncircumcised, tzorich lomel, then you've got to do an additional cutting. B'masnisa tana. In a Tanaic source, we have the following version with a minor difference, and the Gemara will ask what is the significance of the difference. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Kotna Mesuva B'Basar. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel tells us about a kid, a child that is obese. Royan Oisoi Kol Zman Shemiskashe, when the Aver is Bekishui. V'eino Nire Mohol, if it's Koshe, if it's Bekishui, and the child does not appear as circumcised, then you must do some additional cutting. V'im lav, and if not so, meaning there's a double negative. If not so, meaning if it's not so that it does not appear circumcised, which means it appears circumcised, then eino tzorach lamula. Then you don't have to do anything further. On the surface, these two versions basically seem to say the same thing. My binayu, what is the difference between the two? Ikal binayu, the difference will be when things appear on a borderline. Nira vieno nira. That means it looks almost or approximately, it's unclear. Should you make a move? Should you do additional cutting? Rashi spells it out. Rashi, on the second narrow line. Iko binayo nira vienu nira. L'Shmuel, according to Shmuel's version, nira mohu, if it is obviously appears circumcised, hu di ein tzorach lemulo. Only then you don't do additional cutting. Ha nira vienu nira. However, if it's not clear, tzorach, then you've got to do additional cutting to make it look clear. The Masnisa, according to the Tanaic version, Eino Nire Hu Ditzorach, only when it's Eino Nire, when it appears to us as something clearly uncircumcised, when it's clear to us that it does not appear circumcised, then you have to do some additional surgery. However, if it's not clear, then you don't have to make a move. You don't have to do any additional cutting. So the point of difference, as we saw in the Gemara, between these two versions is the case where things appear unclear. According to Shmuel, when things appear unclear, you've got to make a move, make it look clear. And according to the Tanaic source, when things appear unclear, leave it as it is. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a new topic at hand. The Dibur Maschil is Mol V'lo Pora, but the Hemshech of the Gemara, the continuation of the Gemara, doesn't deal with that. Rather, we have a new topic, and on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we have a numbering scheme that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, triangles indicating 1 through 3. These are Birchos Mila, the brachos made on the occasion of circumcision. Three cases: Yelet, a person's child, a son, a Jewish child. Two, Gerim, circumcision in the case of a male converting to Judaism. And three, Avodim, the circumcision that slaves go through when one purchases a slave from a Gentile. So the slave that is now purchased by the new Jewish owner, there is a circumcision for slaves. In addition, we'll notice double underlines. They highlight the following: Hamol, the circumciser, what we call the Moyel, Avi HaBen, the father, and Ha'oimdim Sham, those that are present. Ma kol echod mevorech viomer. We'll see what each one of these people, as the double underline appears, what each one of them is to say. Tanu Rabbanan. The source begins. Hamol omer. The one who is doing the actual cutting says, he says, Asher kitchon v'mitzvaysov v'tzivanu. Of course, each time we see this, it's abbreviated. We understand Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, and he says then Asher Kitshon V'Sosav V'Sivano Al Hamila Avi HaBen Omer Asher Kitshon V'Sosav V'Sivano Lach Nisoi Bevrisoi Shel Avram Avinu. This is a bracha acknowledging the entrance of the newborn into the covenant of Avram. The bris is the circumcision, which represents the covenant between the Almighty and Avram and his offspring Klal Yisrael. Ha'omdim sham, omrim, the people present at the bris, say, k'shem shenichnas the bris, kach yikones the Torah, l'chupu l'maisim tovim. Just as he now enters the bris, the covenant, so too he shall enter Torah, chupa, marriage, and maisim tovim, and acts of loving kindness, and good deeds. V'hamavorech omer, the mavorech is representative of someone else who's present, who recites a bracha. Now this text is a very long bracha text. The opening words, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, are not here in the Gemara. Asher, and it goes on, Asher Kidesh Yedid Mibetin. He who sanctified the beloved, Yedid, the beloved one, from Mibetin, from before he was born. This is a reference to Yitzchak, the son of Avram, Yitzchak Avinu. He was known as Yedid, means the beloved one, based on the pasuk when later on he was brought to the Akedah, the story involving offering Yitzchak on as a sacrifice. The Almighty says to Avram, take the son Asher Ahavta, the one that's beloved to you. Ahavta and Yedid are interchangeable terms for us. So Yitzchak was considered sanctified with respect to circumcision even before he was born, because the Pasuk says in informing Avram that Sarah will have a child, namely Yitzchak, the Pasuk says, V'hakimoisi es brisi ito, and the word brisi, the bris, is mentioned in his context. So Yitzchak was sanctified in the context of our topic of a bris, even before he was born. Chok b'sheiro sam. Chok is a rule, a halacha. B'sheiro is in his flesh. So the rule of circumcision was placed regarding his flesh. V'tzetzov chosam v'ois bris kodesh, and his descendants also, those that follow him, will also be marked by this sign, this covenant, namely the circumcision. Al Kain Bishar Zois Kel Chai Chelkenu Tsurenu, and in merit of this, so the Almighty, that's Kel Chai Chelkenu Tsurenu, Tsiva Lahatzil Yedidus She'erenu Mishachas Laman Briso Asher Sombiv Sorenu. The gist of this is that in merit of keeping the covenant, so we should be spared from experiencing purgatory. Baruch Ato Hashem Koreis Abrisen. We conclude the bracha, since it's a long text, we conclude with the closing bracha regarding the Koreis Abris, the one who we bless the Almighty who established this covenant. The covenant, again, is the circumcision. Hamol es hagerim. This is the second scenario. The one who circumcises in the case of a conversion. Omer baruch ato Hashem Elokeinu melech olam asher kitshonu v'mitzvisov v'tzivonu al hamila. The same bracha made by the mol. And by the way, in each one of the cases with the markings, you can see immediately the mol, the one who's the moyol, in each one makes the same bracha. That's the beauty of our marking system. You can see consistency just with a glance of the eye. And Ham v'hamavorech, Omer, Asher kitchano v'misusav v'tzivonu lomulas hagerim ulahatif mehem dam bris, the blessing of they call it a mitzvah blessing, where we are commanded to circumcise the convertees and to lahatif mehem damris, to cause blood flow from that area. Shilmole damris, if not for the blood of this circumcision, lo niskaimu shamayim varetz, the heavens and earth would not continue. Shenemar im lo brisi yoimum v'laylo chukos shamayim varetz lo isamti, if not for the constant bris, the constant covenant represented by circumcision. So the rules of nature, of the maintenance of the world, I wouldn't place the rules of nature if not for this covenant of circumcision. Baruch ato Hashem koreis habris. And again, we close blessing the Almighty as the one who established the covenant. Hamolas avodim oimer, Asher kitshon misov sven ala mila, v'amavorech oimer, Asher kitshon v'misov sven lomul esu avodim, ulahatif mehem dam bris, shilmolei dam bris, chukos shemayim v'aretz lo niskaimu. If not for the blood of the circumcision, so the rules of nature would not continue. Shemar im lo bris yomim v'olayla, chukos shemayim v'aretz lo samti, baruch ato Hashem koreis habris. And with that benediction, the perek Reb Elazar de Mila, the 19th perek of Shabbos, concludes. And we continue now with the new perek, interestingly, also a perek entitled Rebbe Eliezer. Reb Elazar Omer, Toilin es hamishameres b'yomto v'nosin l'tluyo b'shabbos. Here we're discussing the setting up of a strainer on Shabbos. So Reb Elazar says you're allowed to set up a strainer, even though it forms a type of covering over the airspace, the interior of a vessel. Nevertheless, you're allowed to set it up. The strainer is in effect the type of screen or cloth that you place over the opening of a vessel. And this can be done on Yom Tov. The Nosnim L'Tluya B'Shabbos means if a strainer was already set up Erev Shabbos, so you can pour through it on Shabbos. But you can't set it up initially on Shabbos. So you see that there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, where by Yom Tov you can set it up initially, on Shabbos you cannot. The Chachomim Oimrim. Chachamim are stricter. They say, "Ein toilin es hamishameres b'yom tov." That which Rabbi Elazar allowed in his number one, here the Chachamim do not allow. The ein noisnin l'tluya v'shabbos, and the Chachamim will tell you, even if it was set up on Friday, you cannot pour through it on Shabbos. Avul noisnin l'tluya v'yom tov. However, if a strainer was set up on erev yom tov, you can pour through it on Yom Tov. Before we go further, Rashi on the Mishnah, Toilin es hamishameres, shemisaninin bo shmori yayin. This strainer is used for straining grape lees. Shmori yayin, after grapes are pressed and the bulk of their juice has already flowed. The shmorim, the grape lees, are placed in the strainer, and here we're talking about straining those grape lees. We will see more about about this as we go on in the sugya in the Gemara. Now the Gemara begins, and we note on the side our topic heading, the Nose, Tosefes Aroi Al Oihel, the addition of something that's not of a permanent nature to a structure. Oel is a term referring to, literally, it's a tent, but it's a reference to structures. Rebbe Elazar Mekel, b'machshirei oichol nefesh. Another point that we will discuss here is Shitas Rebbe Elazar as being lenient with regard to actions done that are of a preparatory nature, even things that are, let's say, preparatory in the preparation of food. In other words, when we speak about machshir yochel nefesh, we are speaking about, let us say, making vessels or utensils that are needed for food preparation. Our Gemara. We open with a question that lasts a number of lines. We have to note, though, that though it's a long question, most of the question is in brackets, and the length of the brackets is indicated by the bracket length indicated to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a vertical dash-dotted line. So the Gemara opens, Hashta, Rebbe Lezer, Osofi, Oyola Roy, Loi, Mosfinon. Rebbe Lezer says, we'll see this shortly, where he says it, he says that one is not allowed to be Mosif, to add to a structure, even though we're talking about a something of a temporary nature. You're not allowed to add. Lemevad lechatchilo shari. Would he allow the initial making of the oil? And yet, that's what he seems to say in our Mishnah. He says, you can be toila mishemeres b'yomtov. In other words, you had a vessel that was had an open top to it, and you're making the top. That making of the top is, in effect, the closing of the roof, if you will. That's the making of an ohel. How could this be, then? And we know elsewhere that Rebbe Lezer is strict with adding to an ohel. Certainly to make and the ohel initially, he should be restrictive. That's the question. The answer follows the bracketed section. And if we skip momentarily, the Gemara answers, Rebbe Lezer Sovalok Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Lezer, who is lenient in our Mishnah, holds like Rebbe Yehuda de Sanya, and a Tanaic source is brought in, where we find Rebbe Yehuda being very lenient, but in the realm of Machshirei Ochel Nefesh with regards to Yom Tov. Maybe just an additional word of background, and that is that Yom Tov is very similar to Shabbos in that both Yom Tov and Shabbos are restricted from doing melachos, all types of creative activities. In Shabbos, we know of 39 melachos that are prohibited. When it comes to Yom Tov, there's a realm known as melachos ochel nefesh, activities, melachos that are related to the direct preparation of food, as cooking, baking, kneading dough, etc., are allowed. That's on Yom Tov. So when you're dealing with the realm of food preparation, Yom Tov represents an area of leniency more so than Shabbos. What about activities that are not directly related to the food itself, but earlier stages, meaning the preparation of items, the setting up of items or preparation of items used in the preparation of food? That's machshire ochel nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda happens to be lenient even with regard to that as well. So Rabbi Elezer, in our Mishnah, the Gemara will answer, is based or parallels that opinion. But regarding binyan in general, outside the realm of ochel nefesh, so Rabbi Elezer, in fact, is very restrictive. Now we continue in the Gemara, giving the background to where we see Rabbi Eliezer being machmir as asering, as forbidding, to be moisif oyol aroi. My he, what is that? What did you mean when Rabbi Eliezer will not allow oisoifi oyol aroi? Disnan, we have the following Tanaic source, and for those who have been learning Masechah Shabbos till now, we'll find this as review. Disnan pkakachalon. Pkakachalon is in effect a window shutter. We can say it's a board that one places in a window frame to block off the window. Pkakachalon, Rebbe Lezer Omer, bisman shekoshu v'toli pokekinbo. Only if that plank of wood or the boards were tied to the wall and suspended. In other words, their tolui means that they're not, it's not dragging on the floor, but it's suspended. Pokikinbo, then you can use it as a, you can use it as a shutter. The imlaf, if it doesn't have this this preparation, it's not kosher v'toli. Ein pokikinbo, you cannot use it. So simply to add something to a structure that's of a temporary nature, like a window shutter, Rebbe Elazar is restrictive. The Chachamim omrim benkachu benkach pokinbo. The Chachamim are more lenient than Rebbe Elazar, but we're focusing on Shitas Rebbe Eliezer. The Amar Rabba Barachan Rabbi Yochanan Hakol Moiden. Everyone agrees she'ein oisin oil aroi betchila biyom tov v'ein tzorch lomer v'shabas, to make an initial oil, even if it is of a temporary nature. Everyone agrees you cannot make it on Shabbos. In other words, everyone will agree you could not, let's say, build a tent on Shabbos, even though the tent isn't a permanent structure, but it nevertheless is an oil. It is a structure. Everyone agrees you cannot make it. Lo nechleku elo lehoisif. The machlokes is only with regard to adding to a structure, even if the and here we're talking about an addition that's not of a permanent nature. Rebbe Elazar Omer ein mosifin biyom tov ein tzorch lomer b'shabbos. The example of our window shutter, Rebbe Elazar says, you can't add it to the side, to the window, if it hasn't been kosher v'tolu. You can't add it if it's yom tov, and certainly not if it's Shabbos. V'chachomim are mosifin b'shabbos ve'ein tzorch lomer b'yavdin. The chachomim are lenient with regard to this area of mosifin, of adding to an existing structure. They will say, if it's of a temporary nature, you can add on Shabbos, and it goes without saying that you can add it on Yom Tov. You can put it in, as the window shutter case illustrates. The question, though, is Rebbe Eliezer, we see, is machmir, with even being moisif, with simply adding to an oil, to make an oil at the outset. How is it that he allows it? And that's what he seemed to say in the Mishnah. Toilin es hamishamer es biyontov. The Gemara answers, Rebbe Elazar sofer lo k'Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Elazar adopts the opinion shared by Rebbe Yehuda, Desanya. The following source tells us about Meleches Oichel Nefesh on Yom Tov. It says here, Ein bein Yom Tov l'Shabbos el Oichel Nefesh b'lvad. There is no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos with regard to activities, except for the realm of Oichel Nefesh, food preparation. Rebbe Yehuda, Matir Af Matshur Oichel Nefesh. Rebbe Yehuda says, even those activities that are in the realm of Machshirei Oichel Nefesh, namely the making or the preparation of utensils for food preparation, are allowed on Yom Tov. That having been said, we understand then we're dealing with a strainer, which is food related, and you're setting up the strainer in anticipation of using it for food or food and drink, that Rabbi Elazar will allow you to do. The Gemara asks, though, Eimar d'shamil Rabbi Yehuda b'machshir and shiev shalaso yisomer of Yom Tov. If you want to base Rabbi Eliezer on Rabbi Yehuda, we can still question here that Rabbi Yehuda, though he is lenient, he's lenient only with regard to those kind of machshirin that he could not have done Erev Yom Tov. An example would be, on Yom Tov, someone's knife broke. So, before Yom Tov, it was a good knife. He couldn't have repaired the knife Erev Yom Tov. It broke on Yom Tov itself. So that's what he'll allow you to do. However, machshirim she'efshir la'asos erev Yom Tov, if a person had a broken knife erev Yom Tov, he could have repaired it erev Yom Tov. Would Rabbi Yehuda allow you to repair that knife on Yom Tov? Mi shamislei, would he allow that? Similarly, with our strainer, you could have set up the strainer erev Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda would not have allowed setting up the strainer on Yom Tov, being that you could have done it Erev Yom Tov. So how is it that Rabbi Eliezer is allowing that? You can't say that he's based on Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Eliezer adifa mi Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, Rabbi Eliezer is further in his leniency than Rebbe Yehuda, and that Rebbe Elezer allows even those machshirin that could have been done erev Yom Tov. V'chachomim omrim ein toilin. The Chachomim say one is not allowed to set up the strainer on Yom Tov. And he's not allowed to set it on Yom Tov, certainly not on Shabbos. Ibayaloh, tola mai. The Gemara asks, what about someone who was tola? Omer of Yosef, tola chayav chatos. One who sets up a strainer on Shabbos will be guilty and obligated to bring a sin offering. This indicates that setting up a strainer, that's spreading over the opening of a vessel, a screen, will be chayav chatos as a Shabbos Torah level violation. Omar le Abaye, elo me'ata, based on what you're saying, tola kuza besich sahochinami de mechayav. If a person were to, let's say, suspend a kuza, a small vessel, on a hook, are you going to tell me that he is also chayav because he made a type of structure? The Rashi explains what the problem is. Ochinami de mechayav. Rashi, 3 lines from the end, says, v'hocha mai chiyuva ika boyel aroi. Chiyuva indicates a Torah level violation. Here we're talking about setting up a temporary type oil, a temporary structure in the form of this vessel suspended on a hook. Binyan gomor lo havi, that's not actual construction. It's a temporary structure. Umidrabonin hu de mitzar, maximum, all that is in violation is a rabbinic ruling. So how is it that Rav Yosef says chayav chatos, indicating a Torah level violation? Continuing at the top of Kuflamet Ches, Elo Omer Abaye. Notice we're calling Abaye number 2 on the heels of Rav Yosef, a second opinion. Abaye says midrabbanan hi, the prohibition of setting up the strainer is a rabbinic prohibition. Shelo yase kedel shu oise b'chol, so that a person does not do on Shabbos what he does during the weekdays. We strive to make sure that Shabbos appears as a special day, and therefore things that we are accustomed or regular in doing during weekdays, we don't want you to do on Shabbos. Mankit Abaye Chomrei Masnisa Vitoni. Abaye gathered a number of teachings found in Brisos, and he strung them together so that we have a dashed frame around the next few lines, because this is not an actual singular Tanaic source, but it's what Abaye gathered. Rashi says, klolos shel brisos, rules found in different brisos, and strung them together, vitoni. Category 1, Hagud v'hameshameres kilo v'kise galen lo yase v'imosa poter avoloser. The case of gud, Rashi on the third line, narrow line, says, hu or shel behema tofur, it's a sewn leather, hu piv rochav ma'od, it's a vessel that's made by sewing leather, and it has a very wide opening. The yeshlo shinsim, it has straps attached to it. The oivrei drachim in malin oisa yayin ocholav, the passers-by travelers will fill this vessel up with the wide mouth, will fill it up with wine or milk. B'mokum shetoykin shom oleim lolun, at where they set down camp. The shotchin oso, they spread out this vessel with a wide opening. Upiv motuach al gabi yesedos, it has a wide mouth, and it's set up on pegs. For ruach liveris mitachtof, we're setting up a type of makeshift refrigeration system where the this vessel with the wide mouth is set up on pegs with airspace underneath it, so that the wind blows under it, umitstanein, and it will keep the liquid content cool, shelo yiskatel ayayin, so as to keep the wine from going bad. V'havei dome l'oil le'achas shenimtach. After this, this wide mouth skin vessel is set up on the pegs, it looks like an ohel. It looks like a structure. So that's the case of good. The mishameris we discussed already. Our strainer, kila, is a bed canopy. It's a fabric that's suspended over a bed on poles. The kisei galin. The case of kisei galin, Rashi says it's like the mito galilinisa featured in the third parak, and it's a bed that comes apart, so that it's made of parts that you affix the legs to a frame and set it up when you need to do so, and when you want to disassemble it to travel, let us say, it comes apart. So setting that type of thing up on Shabbos comes under the category of a rabbinic prohibition. Therefore, lo yaseh, don't do it. V'im asa potra avalosu, but if one did it, so this Abaye source tells us you're exempt and from a Torah level violation. Number two, oyale keva, a permanent structure. Lo yaseh, one is not to do it. V'im asa chayev chatas, and if one does it, he is guilty of a sin offering if he did so mistakenly. Number three, avol mito, the case of the bed. That would simply mean a bed like our beds that are, let us say, stood up erect against a wall, and you wanted to just lower it to its normal bed position. Kisei traskel. The kisei traskel, according to Rashi, seems to be something like a folding chair. Rashi says it's umekaplinoso, it's something that can be folded up. Ukshemisalkinoso, somchanoso lakosim, when you fold it up, you lean it up against the wall. Rashi says, Ukshirotzileshivalov notso vyoshiv al dalid raglaim. And when you want to sit on it, so you simply unfold it and it sits on its four legs. That's a kisei traskel. And asla, is in effect a commode, covering or commode seat, which is basically something that, from Rashi, it seems something similar to our setup, but in this case it's made of leather with a hole in it for the obvious purposes, and it's something that folds up, and when you want to sit on it, so you fold it down. So in effect you're covering the commode, the commode bowl with this. Lying it down in its normal seat position is mutter lintoson lechatchilo. There's no problem, no restriction in setting these things up on Shabbos. All these mentioned in the third category. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.